the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild story you want to share with us on the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. And if you're looking for some preparedness food, look no further. Preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. And you can get emergency preparedness food that lasts up to 25 years on the shelf. And if you get the 4-week supply, you will get $100 knocked off. That's a great deal. Right, Dad?
That is correct.
It is correct, actually. So, no, it's a great deal. It really is. And I'm all about preparing for emergencies and, you know, being a prepper. I wouldn't say I'm an extreme prepper. I'm not against it, actually. But, you know, I do prepare a lot. I do have, you see my shelves down here in the basement. We have tons of canned food. We have a freezer full of food. We definitely make sure that we're prepared for that emergency. And if you're on the road, it's always good to have stuff in the cab for that one day that you're stuck and you can't get moving for 14, 24, 34 hours. It happens sometimes.
It does.
So it's a good idea. So, Dad, we have Ryan coming on the show this week. What do we talk to him about a little bit?
Today, the conversation kind of wanders around a little bit. We're talking about some road issues and an accident that he had, and just kind of we're going to see where it goes. But it's a pretty interesting conversation.
Yeah, it really is an interesting conversation. And before we go any further, the past couple of weeks and stuff, we've been forgetting to mention to people that, hey, we have a hotline, right?
We do. We do have a hotline.
Yeah, we're forgetting to tell people that about that. But hey, listen, if you hear this show, you enjoy the show, and you want to kind of share a story, but you don't feel like coming on the show, you don't like me, you don't like my dad, you don't want to talk to us, but you want to tell your story, go ahead and call our hotline. All you got to do is call 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K, or 6375. That's 515-585-MERK, 6375. You can leave a voicemail up to 15 minutes, so it gives you some time to really tell the story, say hi, tell us, you know, what you got on your mind, and we will play it on the show and discuss it. So go ahead and do that, and let's get to Ryan right now. All right, today we got,
forgot his name already.
I was looking at the wrong email.
Oh, that's hilarious. Nice job.
Hey.
Oh, today we've got, what's your name?
hey, dude, you on the other line. What's your name? Ryan? I think it's Ryan. Oh, that's funny. Oh, did we lose him? Oh, we lost him.
He missed that whole part. Back.
I'm just going to keep this rolling.
I'm sorry about that.
No, it's fine. What is going on here? Hang on.
I got another call and my non-technological self hit the wrong button.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
As soon as I did it, I was like, oh, I shouldn't have touched anything. So I'm done. I put the phone down.
Listen, okay. Ryan, we're still recording and we're just gonna keep rolling.
I don't care.
You should have heard it from this end. Tony goes, today we're talking to, and then it's silence. It's like, you forgot his name, didn't you?
Good thing I wasn't listening, but I had to change.
Oh, that was right. Hilarious.
Oh,
I
mean, man. Because we have you, Ryan, today, and then right after we're done talking to you, we're gonna be interviewing a guy named Rob. And so I'm like, Rob or Ryan, which one Which one am I talking to?
I can just see it in his face. His mind went blank. I'm like, I don't know who I'm talking to. What in the world?
You know, when I answer the phone at the warehouse and I tell him my name, I've been called everything from Rob to Ron to Rich. And I'm like, how are you mistaken Ryan for Rich? Really?
That's a good question, yes.
Yeah, man, I got to tell you, I think that's the first time that's ever happened to me where I'm about to talk, like I'm literally about to introduce the person and say, today we're talking to, and I'm like, who is this again?
We're talking to somebody.
It's fine. I don't care if we laugh the whole time. I'm good with that.
Oh my gosh. Ryan, how you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing wonderful. How are you guys?
Doing good, man. Doing good. So, Ryan, you're in Pennsylvania. Actually, you're not that far from us. You live, if you don't, I mean, maybe I shouldn't say where you live.
Yeah, I wouldn't say where he's at.
You live not far from us.
He's not far from where we're at.
We can go with Lancaster County. I'm there not going to give anything incriminating out.
There you go. Lancaster County. My old man lives in the county next to you, Berks County. I live in Monco. So, yeah, we're all in a similar general area. And you're a truck driver. You've been driving for 10 years. Where do you drive? Or who do you drive for?
It's for a local grocery store called Stouffer's of Kissel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
The smaller place, but they've been around for, I think it's almost 90 years now.
Wow.
It started out as a roadside produce stand with like, you know, old Amish or Mennonite farmers and kind of building their garden center industry is way bigger. I think they have 8 or 10 stores, but I don't deal with that. I just deal with the food side of it.
It sounds like a lot of work.
Well, I've been one of the lucky ones through this whole virus thing. I haven't missed a day of work, and I actually racked up a whole bunch of overtime when it started. So I guess I'm blessed or worn out. I'm not sure which one.
A little both.
Yeah.
Yeah. The nice thing is I'm home every night, and I actually work 4 days a week, so I get 3-day weekends. They switch it back and forth from Mondays to Fridays off here and there, so I can't really complain about that.
Yeah.
And then I have to work one weekend. There's 5 of us in the warehouse, and we all do a weekend, a Saturday and a Sunday. So when that happens, you get the Monday and Tuesday off the week before. So, and you get a 4-day weekend. Can't complain about that either.
Well, you got that right.
Yeah.
I despise every Saturday and Sunday, but in the big picture, a lot of guys have it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Did your company do anything for you guys as drivers? Like, I know there was a bunch of companies that were doing like what they were calling hazard pay, which I guess when you were working through the coronavirus, they were paying you some extra money just for your troubles.
Yeah. They called it like an appreciation, something or other. It was basically a one-time lump sum payment. I mean, it didn't make you rich, but it was nice to get. So they didn't have to do anything. So the fact they did something for everybody in the entire company, like everybody that worked in the stores, to, you know, everybody from the bottom to the top, everybody got something dependent part-time or full-time. So, yeah, I was like, I'll take that.
Yeah, definitely. That's nice. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a good company to work for. It's a small company. Our corporate warehouse is right above our corporate office, right above our warehouse. So I see, like, one of the actual Stouffer's is still there, one of the owners. Yeah, I see all the bosses and salesmen every day. So everybody's real close. Nice.
Yeah, it's nice when you get to actually meet the owner of the company and actually you're actually working for the owner in a sense. That's the way our company used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But now, so when you got hired, Dad, at Pitt, Ohio, you actually had to drive to Pittsburgh, right, to meet the owner?
To meet the president of the company and have an interview with him.
Yep. Yeah, so I mean, you weren't really hired totally yet? Is that how it works? Like, he's the final interviewer?
Yep.
Okay. And that was, 100,000 years ago?
1997.
Then you could have stuttered and mumbled your way out of a job too.
Yeah, exactly. That's the stuff that's like, hey, this is, you know, a little worrisome, you know.
But I mean, I got hired. It's going, I think, 8 years now, and they didn't do that for me.
Yeah, they stopped doing that a long time ago.
Yeah, I just got hired.
Yeah, I actually started because I was working in the mobile home industry, and then at the end of 2008, things started getting bad. Our plant closed up. Then I went and worked for one of their suppliers, supplied parts. I was there for 3 months, and the week before Christmas, they were closing, so I lost that job. And I actually spent all of 2009, most of it, on unemployment because I was making so much unemployment. I'm like, I had 3 kids. I'm like, do I pay a babysitter and fuel? I'm like, I can't go get a job for 10 bucks an hour. That's not going to fly.
Right.
So near the end of the year, the government started doing a grant thing where I actually went to the trucking school, and it didn't cost me a dime.
Cool.
It was like a $5,000 course, and I got to do it for free.
That's awesome.
And I was just like, with my education level and skill, I was like, I think this is something I could probably do. I've driven tons of things. It can't be that hard.
You got that right. Hey, that's where I was at, you know. I did that,
and I was lucky enough to find this company that was willing to hire a new driver that had, you know, no miles under his butt. So, you know, I had a friend that worked there too, which helped. So I got in there, and I haven't left. It's a good deal, and I make enough money to enjoy life.
Good.
That's good, man.
That is good.
That's a rarity that you get out of school for, get your license and stuff, and then you find the job that you stay with for 10 years right there. I mean, that usually doesn't happen.
Yep. Didn't happen for me.
We have a problem hiring people because I do the most of the driving out all the guys, but you also have to work in the warehouse, which I actually spend 2 days a week that I'm pretty much always in the warehouse. And I've always done that work, so it doesn't bother me. A lot of guys want to drive or they want to be in the warehouse. Kind of hard to find somebody in between. Plus, they got to teach me their way. They didn't have somebody come there and tell them how it's done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest problems is you get drivers who were at other companies and they want to do it the way they were doing it at the other company.
Yeah.
And those drivers usually don't last too long, I've noticed. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, they're very strict with their rules. Like, if you can drive your way out of a job, like, you can't have a ticket, you can't have accidents, you can't have people calling in saying you're driving erratically and stuff. That doesn't fly.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. You know, the industry is in a different stage right now where, you know, you used to be able to say that, well, there's tons of drivers out there. If you don't want to work, if you're going to, you know, drive irresponsibly, we'll just get rid of you and we'll hire another driver.
Right.
But nowadays, I think that's not necessarily true either. I don't think there's a whole lot of people out there banging on the doors of the trucking industry trying to get into trucking. I mean, obviously, we're turning new drivers.
See, I think there are, and that's the problem. I see plenty of guys that they shouldn't even let touch the door handle of a truck.
That's true.
Seen a lot of that.
I've seen a lot of those drivers who've been driving for 30 years, too. So,
I won't mention any names, but there's just one company that delivers to us, and we have like an outside open air dock in our big parking lot. And then we have where you got to back up this ramp and cut it around the building to back into a dock. Well, we stopped having them do that because every driver that came was running into poles, smashing skids outside, hitting our fence. We just have to do the outside one. And sometimes it still takes them 10, 15 minutes to back up straight. And I'm like, really? They let you drive?
Wow. It's amazing, yeah. Isn't it? That is one of those things that is like, wow, how in the world did you get your license? How did you pass this test?
Yeah, well, they get so scared too. They back up like every, you know, foot. They want to tap the brakes, and they get to the point they run out of air, and then they got to sit there till it airs back up. And we're like, hey, we're here. We'd like to unload you now.
You know, I've never seen that. I've never seen somebody tap the brakes so much backing up that they run out of air.
That is crazy, isn't it?
Come on out to my warehouse on a Monday or a Friday. It's the same company every time. And I agree, 9 times out of 10, it's one of those. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
They're just doing their slab test there in your parking lot.
they're doing something. We call it something else, but I won't.
Yeah. I'll tell you, you know, I see there's, so you talked about driving yourself out of a job, and it just, a mental image pops in my head of a driver for another company that I run into almost on a daily basis at the same delivery. Now, LTL industry, we're not on a schedule where it's like I leave at 9:30 in the morning and I go to the same stop every day. So it's like, because I used to drive school buses when I was in college, and that was what it was like. I mean, you leave at, you know, say 5:38 in the morning, that you leave the lot, and you're arriving at your first stop at, you know, 5:47, and it's the same thing every day. So if it was like that, I would understand running into the same guy every day. But it's LTL, and there's this R&L driver every morning. I mean, I could show up at 10:30. I could show up at 11:30, not usually 12, but within that time frame. And more often than not, he is sitting in their dock still. And there's two docks, and the one dock, all these drivers, especially guys who drive over the road, tend to be a little nervous to back into because there's a wall, and they're afraid to catch the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most LTL guys are used to it, and so they back in next to the wall, so the next guy coming in has an easier time. They don't have to back around the truck that's, you know, in the one dock. And this guy always takes the one that's not next to the wall. He backs in. He'll sit in his truck for 10 minutes, sometimes 15 minutes. Then he goes in, does his delivery, and he talks to them for 15, 20, 30 minutes. Then he goes back out to his truck and just sits there, plays with his phone. And so it's just a pain in the butt for me as one of the drivers out there trying to get into this place. If I want to back in, I got to pull into their driveway, back into their shipping docks, turn it around and blindside in around the wall because I can't get around his truck. And it's like the same thing every day. And when you said that, maybe that guy's face popped into my head because I'm like, that's a guy that should be getting fired because he's not driving himself out of a job. He's not doing
anything. Even driving. Well,
maybe he just gets paid by the hour and he's in no hurry whatsoever. And
that's exactly what it is. He gets paid by the hour and he's milking the clock because, you know, set the standard with your dispatch that this run takes this long at this stop and you drag it out all the time, that they're going to start thinking that that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
If they're not out there, they don't know. And then they'll get another guy in there eventually and go, well, why was another guy taking so long?
Yeah. And I started complaining about it to the company because the place that I run into him at, they have another location right across the street. And I ran into him there at that spot too. And I started telling the people that work the dock there, I'm like, you guys got to start kicking him out of here. Like he's making it way too inconvenient for all these other drivers because he just takes up the dock. I mean, I could back in, I could take my time to turn my truck around, blindside into the dock, do my delivery, leave, and he's still sitting there. And there's trucks out here waiting to back into docks because he wants to stand around the dock and talk sports with people at the receiving department. I'm like,
it's kind of weird that they wouldn't want to get him out of there and get to the next truck and get the job done.
Yeah.
I got my company I'm at now, they actually got me a twit card to take it down to the piers in Philly, mm-hmm. like Holt Pier and Penn Terminals and stuff like that. And at the Holt Pier, I could go in there and we're a small company. So maybe I'm picking up 4 skids of something. Why am I there for two and a half hours?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. But what I found out from somebody is they're all in union. So they're not allowed to leave there until the last truck is out of lot at the end of the day. So they would drag their feet until lunch to stack up the trucks. That way they could work till 6-7 o'clock and get all that overtime.
Yep, that's the way it works.
Isn't it crazy?
That's the way it works.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being there for 2 hours if I could sit in the sleeper and play on my phone and relax for 2 hours. But when I got to stand there in hard concrete, freezing cold for 2 hours, it gets a little irritating.
Yes, it does.
For sure. Absolutely. There's a place in Westchester that I go to fairly often anymore. And a lot of times I show up and I get there around 4 o'clock in the afternoon and I wind up sitting till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night. So like I'm back into a door and I'm not pulling out till 8 o'clock at night sometimes. And, I was telling my wife, I'm literally thinking about getting a refurbished computer to take with me on the road. And they make these little desks that hook up to the steering wheel. And I was like, cause if I'm sitting there for 3-4 hours, I'm getting tired of just watching Netflix.
Yeah, might as well do something.
I might as well work on audio and stuff like that and see if I can get work done for the podcasting stuff because it lightened my load on the weekends.
That's when I do. You know, it will happen. The minute you do that, they won't send you there anymore.
I know.
That's how it works.
Hey, don't start enjoying yourself. That's
no, exactly. That's when it stops.
You know, I think I've been getting sent there more recently because I think they think that I like going there because I was just talking with the dispatch and everything. And I told him, I said, when you guys send me there, I just DoorDash my dinner and I have it delivered to the truck. And they're like, do you? And I was like, yeah, it's easy and stuff. And I think me saying that put it in their head that, oh, well, Merkel likes going there because he can get his dinner out. And
yeah.
Right. I don't like it. I just figured out a way to deal with it.
Yeah. Just because I'm avoiding dealing with driving in, pulling into a gas station and getting crappy gas station food doesn't mean I enjoy going and sitting for 3 hours. I mean, some guys, I'm sure, like doing that, you know, but for me, I'm just like, nah, I just like keep moving. And that's why I think I get there sometimes because I get my deliveries done too fast and they have nothing else on the board. So they're like, just go to Westchester and sit. I'm like, ah, dang it. Shot myself in the foot.
I get paid by the hour. I mean, I hate standing in the warehouse like that, but if something happens on the turnpike or on the highway, this construction was slowed down or stopped. Like, I hope everybody lives, but I'm good. I got a couple hours yet. I can sit here. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then my boss gets on, are they rolling yet? Can you take a different route? I'm like, I'm on the turnpike. Stop.
Yes.
Where do you want me to turn? Into the trees or the wall? Which
yeah,
one do you
exactly.
Want me
that,
I'm not
money ain't coming out of your pocket.
I know there's a guy at my terminal that I remember this is probably like 2 years ago now. We were fueling our trucks in the morning and somebody came in and said that, you know, there's a really bad accident on 422 heading east and traffic's getting stacked up, so avoid getting on 422. He jumps in his truck, hooks up, and pulls out, and he goes straight for the for 422.
That's a city guy for you.
He gets a 422, pops the brakes, calls dispatch, and is like, I'm stuck in traffic, just letting you know.
That's great.
But you know, that's the difference between guys who get paid by the hour and paid by the mile. So.
Yeah. Hey, I actually feel bad for guys who get paid by the mile, because that's like the only time I ever turn my CBL is when I'm stuck in traffic, so I can just listen to guys bicker back and forth and yell about things they can't fix.
Yeah. And yes, we do.
Yeah. Yes, I know, and I don't say anything back, but I sit there and go, yeah, well, it's good to be me.
I guess it would be entertaining. I should get a CB just for those kind of situations. You know, I think that CBs have been, you know, obviously they've been getting transitioned out of the industry, generally speaking. Like, not there's plenty of drivers who don't use CBs anymore because they have all the smartphones and everything. But the problem with that is you don't know what's coming up on you.
You got that right.
And I like that Ryan, I know you heard about this. Just last winter, we had that huge pile up on, was it 81, Dad? I think it was up on 81 this past winter.
I'm not sure which one you mean. I mean,
there was actually
I think there was a couple of them. Yeah, but yeah, I think I remember what you're talking about. Yeah. It's, well, people in Pennsylvania, they don't understand. When the roads even get wet, everybody just forgets how to drive. It's like, you got to slow down a little sooner. You can't slam on your brakes.
Yeah.
And then when it gets icy and snowy, people think, well, once I hit the hill, then I'll slam on the gas. It's like, no, you have to pick up speed before you get the hill, you idiot. Of course you're going to spin out.
Yes, yes. Yep. I know up there, 81's the one that runs across the state up north, right?
That's 80.
80 goes east to west. 81 goes up through like Harrisburg, Carlisle.
Yes.
Yep. That's up to Scranton.
I actually run that on weekends. I actually have a part-time job too that I work on my days off from my regular job that I drive box truck for another produce company.
Oh, wow.
I try not to sit still.
Busy, I guess, apparently not.
Two of the kids are you know, out and doing their own thing, and the youngest one's 16, wants to hang on her friend, doesn't care what dad's doing. So I'm like, why am I at home? Other than my dog, what am I doing here? I might as well go work and make money while I'm young enough and healthy enough to do it.
Yeah. Make hay while the sun shines.
So I
do that. That's a fun job too. I think when you were saying about not having a CB, that brought me back to thinking, like I said, I don't have a bunch of like crazy things that happen, but the CB probably would have been good two times. I remember on the turnpike, there was once I get on like the Reading Effort exit. I don't know if you're where that's at.
Yep.
It's, you know where Morgantown is?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the first I get on, then I come down toward Morgantown heading toward Philly. And it was early in the morning, I was cruising down through, I had cruise control on. I got in the left lane. I think I was passing a car. And next thing I know, this cop comes flying by me, his red and blues on. I was like, well, that's kind of odd. He wasn't even chasing anybody. And then I come down to the overpass where Morgantown is, and I see all these flashing lights. So I started slowing down, and I got over to the right. And here, somebody was hauling like the cattle barriers, the big concrete things in the middle of the highway. Mm-hmm. And I guess when he came onto the turnpike on his exit, one of them slid off and was perfectly blocking the left lane.
Wow.
If that cop hadn't gone by me like that, I probably would have nailed that at 70 mile an hour, because I wasn't really, I couldn't have seen it without all the lights.
Right.
Wow.
So that's
amazing.
That one got my heart racing a little bit.
Yeah. It's amazing nobody hit that.
Well, I think it probably just happened. Wait, this is 3:34 in the morning. I start early.
Okay.
So there really wasn't a lot of traffic. And I guess as soon as it happened, the guy must have called, and the cops luckily got there before anybody else. Because, that would have been a mess.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. Holy crap. What was the other time that you could have used the CB?
Coming back from Philly, I was still, I think this was only my second year of driving, maybe my third. I was coming back. I just got on the turnpike. I was on it for maybe half an hour, but there's a long swooping turn to the right. Like it's not, a hard turn. You can still do the speed, but you can't see around the whole thing. So I was in the left lane. I was getting ready to pass a tanker. And next thing I know, there's this pickup truck just stopped in the left lane, and the guy's off the right on his phone. So why he couldn't coast off the road, I don't know, but I caught it just quick enough that laying on the brakes hard and downshifting, I got the tanker to pass me. And I go over to the right, because there's no way I was going to stop before I got to it.
Right.
If there had been a car behind that tanker, it would have got ugly real quick.
Yeah.
It's amazing the way you can come up on stuff. And this is one of the things that people don't realize. And it's what it kind of, it's one of my pet peeves, is that just the way people drive, they'll sit next to you. And if something happens at any point where you need to change lanes or do whatever, something like that happens, and you can't go anywhere, you're stuck. And that's one of the things that, people like, we've had an email from a lady who said, well, what can drivers or what can, you know, people who are driving cars, four wheelers do to make your job? You know what? One of the things you can do is don't drive right next to a truck, because if anything happens, if you need to switch lanes, if so you come up on something like that, you have nowhere to go.
That's what I tell my daughter, teaching her to drive now. I'm like, you get around a rig, just keep your distance, front, rear, side. Just if you got to pass it and get past it. If you're not going to pass it, don't ride its rear end. If you're going to get in front of it, make sure you're going to go.
Yes. And don't hang next to it. Keep moving. If you're passing, pass.
Yeah.
Get past.
You know what else you shouldn't do? Because the other day I was about at my wit's end. When you go down the turnpike or whatever highway and you come up on a slow vehicle, so you get over to the left, right? So you're like, I'm just going to cruise past this guy because I'm on cruise control. Get him about halfway down your trailer, and then they decide to speed up.
Yep.
Well, about the third time this guy did this, I went to go around the fourth time, and I said to myself, if he does it again, I'm putting him in the woods. It's like, I just can't take it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of those things that drives you crazy. It's like all of a sudden they find their fuel pill, and then they want to play games with you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just... If you're going to drive slow, drive slow. If you're going to hang out on your phone and play goofy games, stay in a right-hand lane and you know, in fact, park your car. If you're going to sit there and text, if you're going to look at your phone, if you're going to watch a movie, if you're going to do whatever, don't drive.
Oh, that drives me nuts, the texting. It's not worth it. I mean, I see people swerving, slowing down in front of me, almost running in the side. I'm just stop. Yep. What are you doing? So, it's not that important. Trust me, you're not that important. Your life is nothing. Give it up.
Exactly. Exactly. Your life is not so important that you want to mess up my life.
Yeah.
Because that's what's going to happen. It's going to mess up my life.
You know, I would also say, because I can't remember her name. I'm drawing a blank now of the lady who emailed us.
Oh, Nancy.
Nancy.
Yeah.
So I think that was a really good question that
it
she
was
sent
a good
us.
Question,
so
yeah.
Nancy, thank you for sending that question. And one of the other things that I would say on this topic is that I don't know because I drive trailer for a living. It's been a long time since I haven't had a CDL as to what people think trucks are able to do. Mm-hmm. Plus, I grew up with a truck driver. So I get the sense sometimes that people think that trucks move faster, quicker than they actually do. Just by judging how they act around you on the road, sometimes I feel like cars think that, oh, well, he's going to go. Yeah, I'm going to go, but it's going to take a while. So if you think that you're going to pass me, just pass me, because it's going to take a while for me to get up speed and going. And another thing I would say, and this is not at all the rule, but generally speaking, if you see a tractor trailer and it's a day cab, not a night cab. So like a day cab is one without a sleeper on the back. So if you're looking at the tractor part and it doesn't have that big box in the back where the truck driver can sleep, and it's just like a day cab where you can see the guy driving and there's a wall right behind him, there's no room in the back. Those trucks generally, because they're usually regional and they get returned at night, they generally are governed at a certain speed. And so if we're on the turnpike, I know this is for Pitt, Ohio.
Right.
If we're on the turnpike and the turnpike speed limit's 70 miles an hour, our trucks are governed to be 67 max. We can't go any faster. And so the only time we go faster than that is if we have a full
rolling
load and we're going downhill.
get a little wind pushing in with a good 70,000 pounds. You're like, I'm going.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so like sometimes when you're on the turnpike and you come up across, sometimes it's a car, sometimes it's a really heavy truck, and it's going 55 miles an hour in a 70 because it's going uphill or whatever. Whatever the reason is, if I decide to pass that truck and I can only max out at 67 and then that truck starts speeding up.
Right.
That's because I know sometimes, I remember when I first started driving trailers, somebody asked me about that. Why do trucks, you know, tend to go down the turnpike and they just lock in next to each other? That's why, because one of the drivers decided to start passing, and then the driver that
the other one
can't sped up, and now he can't go anywhere because there's people behind him. Either he has to step on his brakes to get behind the truck again, or wait till that truck that he was trying to pass slows down so he can actually pass, because he can only go 67 miles an hour.
Yep. Yeah, I've had people ask me about that. I'm like, well, you don't understand. Is the last thing I want to do is get off my cruise control because I'm already going as fast as I can, or slow down because it takes me more to speed up the hill. So if I get next to the guy and I can't pass him, well, I'm sorry for who's behind me, but I'm still going faster than I would have to slow down to go behind him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It takes a lot longer to speed up. And it's like, I'm just trying to do what I can to keep my butt rolling and try to stay out of the way. You know, you got a little bit of patience. Just leave a little earlier. Relax.
That has been one of the things I have just frustrated with so much is you hit rush hour whether you're down by Philly or whether you're up here by Allentown or whether, you know, wherever you're, I don't care where you live in the country. I don't care what state you're in. People at rush hour drive me crazy, because if they would leave 10 or 15 minutes earlier, they would not have to drive like they're the only person on the road.
And, well, I'm glad to hear there's actually people that listen to this that don't drive, because I was wondering if people did that. That way, maybe they're learning something, and we'll get two or three less stupid people out there in our way. I know one of the most amazing things I ever seen in the back of a rig or a trailer before I started driving it, still to this day, I've never forgotten it. They had a sign that says, "If you can't see my mirrors, I can't see you."
Yeah, that's right.
And if everybody knew that and stayed back enough and we knew who was behind us and who was where, there'd probably be a lot less accidents, hostility, troubles. Mm-hmm. I really think they ought to teach when, like, there's driving class in school my daughter's taking. I think they ought to have a good chapter, a good lesson on just how to drive around rigs, just to teach people, whether they retain it or not, at least make the effort to teach them something.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea.
That is a really good idea.
Because people generally just don't understand the concept of what we're dealing with. So if you're in traffic, and I know people have seen this too on back of trailers, sometimes there's a diagram on back of trailers and it shows like a truck.
Yeah, how to turn.
Yeah. Making the turn.
Wide right turn.
And where our blind spots are. Mm-hmm. And those are legit. Like,
look, let's be honest. People can't even read. And this is me getting real. I'm going to get really harsh for a second.
Disclaimer.
Go for it.
Brian's getting grumpy.
You're asking people to read the sign on the back of a truck, on the back of a trailer, and they can't even read construction signs. For 4 miles, it can tell you right lane ends, right lane ends, right lane ends, right lane ends. And what do they do?
They ride the right lane.
I know. You know what? When it comes to reading signs, and believe me, I mean, I love people. I think people are awesome. I think most people.
All right. Well, we differ there, but that's fine.
Most people.
I like dogs.
Hold on a second. When most people, when they get into a car, they're no longer a person. They're a driver. And now it's like they lose all common sense. They're the only person who's alive. They're the only person who's on the road. Nobody else matters. That is the pet peeve that I have. That's probably my biggest pet peeve, is like, be cognizant that there are other people out here.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the only person.
Now you
the
said
road.
The construction zone. I've got to touch on that. I also would like to run all those people off the road. If it says it's going to end in a mile, it's not a suggestion or a maybe. It's going to end in a mile.
Yes.
If everybody gets in the same lane, we all keep cruising at the same speed. If we don't, every other car hates every other car. Yes. And it's just a bad situation.
This has turned into the complaint hour.
Good job, Nancy.
Oh, you know what? No,
I got complaints all day. Because, I can just hate on drivers. What are you going to do? We can do it.
I know. I'm with you. And that's where it's like, I get it. We're all human. We all, you know, make mistakes, blah, 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 all that stuff. I get that.
Do you ever just sit next to another rig to block the lane so they can't pass you?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
That's my favorite.
Yes. Yes,
People punching or stealing wheels, flipping you off, yelling at you, and it's like, what are you going to do?
Yep, I could care less.
Just 2 weeks ago that happened. I was in the lane that was going to continue, and I think it's the left lane was closing, and a rig came up next to me. I'm in my own world, you know, and this guy's hovering next to me, and it just caught me off guard. I look over kind of like, what are you doing? And he's like waving at me. He's like giving me the two hands going forward, like, let's ride it out. And, I'm like, all right, man. And like the joy on his face when I said, okay, I was like, this made his day.
Yeah.
Almost sounds like it could have been me, because that's a smile I make when somebody teams up with me. I'm like, hey, let's do this.
Yes. Well, you know what? And this is what the people around you who don't know what's going on, they think you're just being a couple of
jerks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good work.
Keep it clean.
Meanies.
You know, they think you're just being jerks, but you're not. You're trying to allow the traffic in front of you to clear out, trying to allow that traffic to all merge and get past that construction area, because people don't pay attention to the signs.
And so when
they do, because when they see the signs, that's when they speed up and go, I have to get ahead of two more cars. They know exactly what the sign says. They just don't care about you.
So
they don't.
In that's a car. So say it was just traffic filled with cars like that, right? And so people run up on the closing lane and they just merge over. The problem is when you're merging over in front of us trucks, every time you do that, we got to slow the rig down and we got to create that space again. And then we got to start shifting through the gears again and get up to speed again. It's really a pain in the butt for us.
And then what happens?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Then the next person cuts over and then the next person cuts over.
Because
and
they're
then
like, the next person cuts this over. Truck's being nice and letting us in.
Right.
Not really. Nope. Right. I'm just being a safe driver. I need to have gap in front of me and you guys keep cutting me off. off.
You know, like our trucks, we have that sonar, bumper sonar thing. So I have to back out of it. Otherwise, I get in trouble with the company. You know,
I don't know what that's like. That sounds, I hear you guys talk about it, and that just sounds horrible. I don't know. I don't think I could do that.
Listen, I'll tell you. So my dad's truck and my truck are the same. My truck's a little older than yours, but we have the same stuff on it, which is we have the sonar on the front that if you're on cruise control and you're coming up on a, you're going, say, 55 and you're coming up on a car that's going 50, it sees it and actually slows down for you. Now, I know you don't drive on cruise control, Dad.
I do.
But, and then you have the buzzers on each side of the truck. So if you deviate out of the lane a little bit.
Yeah, lane departure.
Yeah, it will buzz on that side of the truck to kind of wake you up or whatever. But the new trucks that we've been getting in have all that stuff and more.
Yeah.
So like if you're in reverse, the radio gets turned off.
The box truck that I drive for my part-time job does. Every time I put it in reverse, it stops. Yeah, I can't see in the mirror when the radio's on? I'm like, come on, really?
Ryan, you should see my dad's face when I said that. He's like, you serious? Because you know it's coming for you, man. Because when the new trucks come in, the line haul guys get them. So, and also, it has a sonar on the front of it. Uh-huh. But if it starts beeping, your radio turns off every time. So, like, it doesn't matter if you have great distance in front of you. If you just have that one beep, your radio turns off for a few seconds. But the thing is, your radio doesn't stop. Like, so say you're listening to a track on your phone and you're streaming it through the Bluetooth. It doesn't stop the track. So you miss 5 seconds or however long it is. And you got to try backing it up and stuff so you know what you missed, you know, because I listen to podcasts.
Without getting mad and wanting to throw your phone and kick the radio and all that, right?
the bells and whistles are getting insane. So
technology is good to a point, and then there's a point where I just want to murder it all and start back with some sticks and rub them together and make a fire. I think it might have been better.
Yeah. Fred Flintstone, yabba dabba doo!
Yeah, right? I'd jam my feet through the floor and start running.
And you know,
I got Huskies. I'll just get the sled going. I'll be fine.
There you go. There you go. And you know, the thing is that they keep telling you, well, you know, we don't want to have distracted drivers. Do you know how distracting that is?
Well, I was going to say all of that shit sounds way distracting.
It is.
I couldn't. I don't know. I don't think I could do it. I think I'd last a day and go, yeah, I don't need this job.
That's what drives me crazy. Is that's they tell you it's for your own safety. You know, it's distracting, is what
it is.
It's
for your insurance. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
That's why we drive the trucks that we do, because they're the cheapest. We drive all Freightliners because I guess they're the cheapest to insure.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong. I mean, I drive the one sleeper, and they have that for me because they're going out of the area. If I want to take a break legally, I have to get out of the driver's seat, and that way I can get in the back and sit down, eat something, whatever, which is nice. But yeah, they don't have all that extra technology stuff on them. But yeah, it gets up and goes. It does what it has to do. And you know, I enjoy it. I enjoy getting around and seeing some different things. And like I said, I don't have to go far. As far as I go, we go to Delaware to pick up corn and watermelons in the beginning of the season. And that's not far from my house that I have down there. So it's nice to get there, except I go, if I could go another 20 miles, I could be fishing. I have to go back north. I don't want to go.
You know, going back to the comments that we had here about the reading the signs, I do remember when I first got my CDL. I mean, we're talking a long time ago now.
I know. It's forever.
Well, no, it is. I mean, we're talking about 15 years
being
ago.
Being a wiseacre.
But when I got the CDL, I remember all of a sudden my senses were heightened. Mm-hmm. And this was when I was driving a school bus. That's how I got my CDL Class B. And my senses were just so alert. Like I was like, okay, this is, I think I still remember it. It's 10 foot 4 inches with the hatch down, 10 foot 6 inches with the hatch up. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know what you can fit underneath and everything. And so you're reading signs and you know how much the bus weighs or the truck weighs. And you're reading all these signs because you're hypersensitive about it. I don't think people who drive cars are that hypersensitive about, you know, going underneath bridges, going over bridges. They don't read those signs because it doesn't apply to them. And so they're already in the habit of not reading signs. So when they're going through, and we all know that people don't slow down for construction zones, they see orange and they're just like, oh, so there's gonna be some people working in a construction site. As long as I'm driving 7 miles an hour and I'm watching what I'm doing, I'm fine. But they don't read signs. And that's where I think this comes in, because we're just so trained, because we have to. Like, we don't have an option. We have to read signs or else we're gonna get fired every other month.
Right.
I do it my personal vehicle. I see every sign down the road and look at it, and it gets irritating, but complacency is a killer. You do not want to just stop worrying about it, because that's when you do something dumb or you're not paying attention for a second, and then you know, you're responsible for that vehicle. You kill. So if I ever killed anybody, I don't know if I could ever get back in it. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Right.
I don't.
I shouldn't think about that so much, but I do have those thoughts, and I'm like, I don't want to be part of that.
And I like, so people don't think about that stuff, but we do, right? And to the point all now the time. That when we're in our personal vehicles, say you're going down a side road you're not familiar with, and all of a sudden you're coming up over a little bridge and there's a sign that says no trucks, your heart stops for a second because you forget that you're driving your personal vehicle, and you're like, oh crap, oh no, I'm good.
I'm all right.
just a funny thing, going from work truck to personal vehicle. I just got a Jeep a little while back because my truck took a crap, and it's a stick shift. Well, I haven't driven a stick shift vehicle since before I started driving truck. And like the first thing I remember them telling me in school is, if you drive a stick shift vehicle, forget everything in it. It's different. So I've been driving truck for 10 years. So now every time I switch from the Jeep in the morning to the truck, or the truck in the afternoon to the Jeep, I actually have to get my brain switched on how to drive, because I'll get in the Jeep and try to float the gears, and that doesn't work. No. Or I'll jump in the work truck and try to use the clutch instead of floating the gears, and I don't know how to do that anymore, so that doesn't work. And I'm always like, ah, it's like your first day. Stop it.
I get like that sometimes backing up. So I try to back up my truck every morning, my personal truck every morning, just so that I'm still in the habit of turning the wheel the right way and stuff in the personal vehicle. But sometimes my brain just craps out of me, especially when I'm parking my tractor at night and there's no trailer on the end and I'm backing into a spot. So at that point, you're turning it like you would your personal vehicle, but you're in the tractor. And sometimes my brain just glitches and I cannot get it. Like, I'm looking in the mirrors. I'm looking, okay, got to turn it this way. And I still get it wrong. I just can't get it.
It just feels wrong. That's why your body switches, because it feels wrong in your head and your arm's like, no, we're going this way.
Yeah. I remember when I first I don't know what that was.
That's how you lose your job at your interview. Would you like to start over and try again? We'll give you a take number two.
That's why you do a one job in a lifetime thing. You get to a company alike and you stay.
Because you just get nervous. Excited with this podcast because your other podcast, I don't know you do that a lot.
That's so funny.
That is funny.
All right, guys, enough. That's enough.
Oh, I'm done now. That's how I get cut off. All right, that's fine.
Oh, that was hilarious, Ryan. Thank you.
You're fired.
I'm a prankster. I love it.
So, oh, that's great.
I remember.
And he deserves it. He needs that once in a while. I don't think you give him enough time. I think you should ride him a little harder once in a while.
Now he's all flustered.
I'm not a fan of this conversation.
So, easy killer.
Listen, yeah, exactly. Just remember, I'm in control of the hang up button and the mic mutes.
This has now become Tony's other show.
I can control everything.
It's going to have a third show going, me hanging up on people I can't stand.
just Tony hanging up on people.
We'll make the intro every week, me calling you, hello, hang up. But anyways, so I pull into this place when I first started at Pitt, Ohio, and it was in Philadelphia. It's a place called Simcar. It's in North Philadelphia, I think. And I go there, and I'm in a straight truck, and I see another trailer of ours there. And again, I'm new. I don't know any of the drivers. So this guy, he's retired now. He comes out to me, and he said, they need their straight truck pulled out of their dock and moved down so I can back my trailer in. And I said, okay, should I do that? Because I didn't know. And he's like, no, I'll do it. And I said, okay. So he gets in, and he does it. And he goes to back into their dock again further down, and he just turning it sideways. He couldn't get it. I'm looking at it, I'm like, what? Because I didn't drive trailer. I didn't understand.
Right.
I'm like, what is wrong with you? Like, are you on drugs or something? Like, how long have you been driving? And then when he got out, he's like, I can't do it. And then he told me why. I was like, oh, that makes sense. And then when I was trying to learn how to drive trailer, I was like, oh, this is
now it really makes
sense.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
That's what I do when I see people struggle. I try to remember, like, you were new once and you didn't know what you're doing. But then there's some people just like, nah, just get out and go home. You don't need to be doing this. It's been too long. You're done.
Yeah.
What really helped me when I was learning how to drive trailer is I was having the hardest time for about a week or two. Because when I was getting trained to drive trailer, it wasn't me going to school. It was Pitt, Ohio saying, they tap me on the butt and say, okay, go do deliveries with your trainer.
Right.
And you just get in the truck and you start driving and you figure out how to shift, downshift, turn, and back up, all that. And for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, I had a hard time doing the backup. So where I was getting it, but it just didn't feel comfortable. And I was talking to a guy at work who drives straight truck, but he used to drive trailer for us, and he bumped down because he got tired of doing dropping hooks. It's a long story, right? But he told me, and it really helped me. He said, listen, if you want the back end of your trailer to go left, just put your hand on the bottom of the steering wheel and push it left, because then you're actually turning it right, but you're starting out going left. And when he told me that, it just clicked in my head. And that, and obviously I don't need to do that anymore, but mm-hmm. that helped me get that transition going in my brain. But it's a lot of
retraining.
That's
a good learning tool.
It is.
Yeah. It's just, you have to trick your brain sometimes and retrain it because you've been doing it one way for so many years.
So I think I would have liked to learn the way you did better than the way I did. I was in a school, so they'd put three or four of us in a truck with a trainer, then we just go out on the road and go driving. And some of those guys had no right being on a scooter, and I'd just sit in the back and play on my phone and go, I might live through this day. Yeah. I might not. I don't know.
I don't want to know when I die. I just,
it's
my
terrifying. Time, it was completely terrifying. There were a couple guys in that class. I was like, God, I hope they don't give them their licenses.
Yeah. I'm sure they did because they like the money.
Yeah. I think they all drive for that same company that comes to my work.
Yeah. Well, I know that there's a lot of drivers out there that have, you know, they've been driving for a long time, but like, so for instance, I was talking to this one guy from Russia and he had the hardest time driving. Just, I didn't talk to him about that. I didn't want to be a mean guy. Right. But he had the hardest time backing in and everything else like that. And he gets out of the truck and, you know, I'm standing in at the door over here cause it's COVID and all that crap. They're not allowed in. And so I start talking to him and it turns out he's from Russia and I don't know if this is true or not, but he told me the reason why he has a hard time backing up here is because driving over here is different. And I'm like, okay. I don't know if that means the steering wheels are on the different side of the trucks in Russia.
Well, probably. It's probably a different side of the truck, drive a different side of the road, but I don't know. Do you think you could jump in a truck with a steering wheel on the right and just back it in your first couple of times? I don't think I could. I'd like to try it, but I don't think it'd be easy.
I think I could. It's just the other side of the truck. I guess not because, yeah, I guess it would be.
You're looking out a different window. Everything's going to be a little different. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's not hard, but that's what I'm thinking. It makes sense.
Yeah, and even driving, shifting the stick is in the on
it's
the left side
hand.
Now.
Yep.
So
I am left-hand illiterate. It would not work out.
Yeah, you would have to retrain your brain on the patterns and stuff just on the left on your
just
left
using
hand.
Your left hand.
Yeah.
I mean, just try and do that. Try and sit in the passenger side of a car and try and shift.
How many times?
I was lucky when I had shoulder surgery. It was my left shoulder because if it had been my right shoulder and I'd have to wipe with my left hand, I think I'd have been in trouble.
Oh,
my word.
So, like, how many times would you, sitting on the right side of a truck and going to drive it, just put your left arm up to put it on the windowsill and your arm would just fly down next to you because there's no window there? You know what I mean? Because we all do it, right?
I believe probably every time.
Yeah. It's like getting in a truck with no clutch and you're pushing for the clutch.
I was just going to go there. I can't tell you how many times I've taken one of these new trucks that are all automatics. And mine is still a standard. I get in it and I'm used to, you know, pushing the clutch in, turning the key, you know, doing all the using the clutch.
Slam your foot to the floor and go, hey, there's no clutch there.
I'm like, what the heck?
Yep.
Go to reach for the shifter when you're slowing down and there's no shifter. You're like, what the? What am I doing? It's an automatic. You know, it's like everything does it. It does it for you. You don't have to know how to shift.
Yeah, I don't think putting my left arm up and missing the window would be the problem. I'd have to learn how to get in the right side of the truck first.
That's true.
I'd be doing a lot of climbovers.
That's another thing. I mean, you really would because when you get a trailer, I don't know how your company is with the trailers and stuff, but our company right now is in the middle of getting some new trailers where the landing gear is on the driver's side. And how many times do I get out to go drop the landing gear and I'll walk around the trailer only the handle's not there and it's
on the other side.
I hooked up
to
it this morning, but if you forget and you have to go back around to drop the landing gear, you would do that all the time trying to get in the truck. And I would get
we've only got three trucks, but I think we have about seven or eight trailers because we went in Robazonia to CNS, like Sure Fine Foods and stuff. Yep. We drop trailers up there, they load them, and that's we pick up a couple times a week and take them to the stores. But one of our trailers is on the passenger side. All the rest of them are on the driver's side. Inevitably, I go up there to pick up, like the first time, I always get that trailer. I get out, I walk side, look around, I go, damn it. Walk around no better. You know which trailer it is. Why you do this every time?
It's amazing how we become creatures of habit.
Yeah.
It really is. Because when I first started driving for the company that we're with, you know, they were all on the driver's side. And then they had this thing where they started, you know, they started moving them all to the right side.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you had to drop it on the side of the road or blah, blah, blah. Same thing with the handle to pull the pin.
Sorry, I have a bunch of drunk people on a golf cart. It's kind of funny, actually. We should have seen it.
We barely noticed it. We're all truck drivers. We're used to loud noises.
Exactly. You know, you just become a creature of habit. Now, you know, so it was easy. You know, okay, I had to walk around the truck. drop my landing gear, pull the pin. Now you got half the trailers are left side, half the trailers are right side, you know, for landing gear. And you're like, you know, I don't, you're looking and like you said, you get it, you drop, you back in, you forget which one you got, you walk around, you're like, and yep, that was smart, Brian. Now I got to go.
My biggest thing with hooking up is my dad put a fear of it in me when I first started driving. He told me I'll never be a real truck driver till I drop a trailer.
Jeez.
And I haven't yet, but I think about it every time I got to hook up to one, and I test pull, and then I hook everything up, and I test pull four more times. Then I start driving. I stare in the mirror for the first mile, going, "This thing's gonna drop. I know it."
I am paranoid about that. Absolutely paranoid. So, I mean, I do the tug test. I get down every time I hook up to a trailer to make sure it's locked in with the pin. And this past week, I was doing a drop and hook, and I pulled a 53 out of a door of a medical facility where these are heavy, heavy, heavy trailers. And I pull it out, I drop it, and then I go and hook up to the empty and put it in the door. And then I go back up to hook up the one I just pulled out to leave. Mm-hmm. And so I back into this 53 heavy load, and I back it in. I get out. I hook up my wires, and I go to do the landing gear, put the landing gear up, and I get underneath, and it's not locked in. And I was like, huh, that rarely happens, you know, rarely. And so I decided, okay, it's not moving. I'm just going to hop in, and I'm just going to jiggle it just to get it to lock in without putting the landing gear back down on the ground. Would you know it? I have a brain fart, right? And I get in the truck because everything's like I've said it before on the show, drivers, we all have our patterns of how we hook up and everything, your routine. So you don't forget things. I get back in the truck and I push in the brake for the trailer, and the trailer starts drifting back.
Oh, no.
and it's a quick, easy fix, right? You just pop the trailer brake out and it stops rolling back. But for maybe a second, my whole body just had that like tingling shot of sweat just shoot all over me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to drop this thing. And then I was like, no, pull the but. In those moments, sometimes you panic and you don't think clearly. And I was just thinking to myself, man, I'm really glad I didn't panic to the point that I forgot that all I had to do is pull the trailer brake out to get it to stop. Because you're looking out the window and behind you, and you're seeing things that aren't supposed to be happening. And you're just like,
that shouldn't be moving. Why is that moving?
And so
I saw a guy drop one, and it's a terrifying sight to see because that thing was loaded with groceries. I mean, I don't know what cube or weight was on it, but he backed into it and did all his things, and he pulled out, and I watched him turn left to head toward the gate, and as he turned left, the trailer kept going straight, slid right off the back, hit the ground. He had the landing gear up, and I just went, oh, that's gonna be a long day.
Wow. It wasn't one of your guys, right?
No, it's a bunch of different companies that go. They have their own drivers, and a lot of the local grocery stores around here that go there because you actually get a discount for picking up your own loads. And that's why we do. We got a regular guy that does it 3 days a week, and then we swap out on for Sundays, which is why I hate Sundays, because I hate going up there. I don't like going to Rob Zonia. And it's late in the day, too. Like, your first load's not ready till 3 in the afternoon, and I normally start at 4 or 5 in the morning, and I'm done by 2, 3 o'clock. So when I don't have to go work till 3, I'm already angry.
Yeah, no offense to anybody that lives in Robazonia, but that area, it just seems very dull to me. And I don't know if it's just me, but whenever I go through that area, I'm just like, it's kind of boring.
It's rural. I mean, the only thing I really have around here, if you heard of Blue Marsh Lake, I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
That's right in that area. I mean, it's a nice place to go with, well, it used to be a nice place to go with family. It's not so great anymore, but there's some good fishing up there, and I take the dog swimming up there and that. But other than that, in that area, I mean, it's just, it's a suburb of Redding, and it's just kind of old and concrete-y. Like, I like the woods and stuff. I hate going places when it's all concrete and this and that. That's why I despise going to Philly, but it's my job. I do it twice a week. I go to the piers, I go to the produce market. Ugh. And I just think it's gross and trashy. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I'm a redneck. I don't know what to say.
I hate going to Philly too. That's why
I was born and raised in the woods. I spent a year when I was younger living in a camper in a campground because things were rough. Like, I like the woods. I don't want to go to the city. I avoid it.
I guess it's safe to say you feel at home there. So.
Yeah, so I'm happy here. Like I said, if they didn't pay me what they paid me, I wouldn't go to Philly either. But I'm like, all right, you want to pay me that? I'll go.
Yeah, I don't like doing Philly either. That's why the run I have takes me the opposite direction of Philadelphia. I go to Pottstown, Boyertown, Gilbertsville area because it's going the opposite direction. So.
Yeah, I don't even go to inner city. It's like just off 95 is where the produce market is. Like, I go past the airport and stuff, and then the piers down near Front Street down by the the stadiums and stuff. I'm down that area. So it's like, I'm not an inner city, but it's still a city. And I just, I don't know. People love it. That's fine. It's not for me.
Yeah. It's Philly. And it really doesn't matter where you're at in Philly. It's pretty much a pain in the butt to drive trailer in Philly.
Oh yeah.
And so I don't care if you're downtown or if you're down at the docks, Cargo City.
I've been on vacation all this week, but one day last week I had to go do a special pickup in Northeast Philly. I forget what the area was called, but it's like there's a 2 or 3 lane highway, and then there's like a medium, then there's a 2 lane on the other side. They're all going the same way, but it's kind of split, and the other side's the same. And I've never been to this place, and I'm trying to find it, and where I'm supposed to make the right, there's no way to make a right with a 53-footer and a sleeper. I was like, that's not happening. So then I went up the road, and I had to make a left to turn around to come back, and I didn't know, so I shot all the way across to the 2 right lanes, so then I couldn't make the left where I wanted, so I had to go down, shoot over, spin around again, come up, spin around again, then I turned down the road, and when I turned down the road, I'm like, okay, well, now I'm on this road. Now, am I going to be able to make the next turn? Is there a bridge down here? What kind of fun is this going to be?
Yeah,
that's it. What kind of fun is this?
So, good news, Ryan. That was the Roosevelt, and you're in a
trailer. Yes, it was the Roosevelt, correct.
Yeah, so you're in a trailer, which means whatever way you just said you took was probably the natural way for trailers to take. I'm telling
probably,
you.
Probably, but I had never been there. When I haven't been someplace, like in that truck, I know it's not terrifying, but I'm just like, I don't know what to do next.
Right. Dude, when you're in Northeast Philadelphia, man, you are taking the long way around. Even same with North Philly, but Northeast, because the Roosevelt splits two sides in the Northeast. And so if you're doing deliveries on one side and you got to go to the other side, usually what drivers do is they make sure that they get all the deliveries done on one side of the Roosevelt before they head across. Because going back and forth on the Roosevelt, it's not simply just going across the street. You got to go like into traffic, go up a few blocks, go across, then come loop around. It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Most of them probably don't make a figure eight like me, but hey, I like to make a special.
I'll tell you, the Roosevelt was labeled not too long ago the most dangerous highway in America. And it's because of the way it's built,
beat the Schuylkill, the one we call the Schuylkill.
It beat that, which is crazy because it's all the major highways going into Philly just straight up dangerous. And it's because they're old roads. They weren't meant for this kind of traffic. Mm-hmm. And then you add the amount of traffic plus the distracted drivers smacking their kids in the back seat, eating cereal while they're driving to work, reading their papers and all that stuff. Because all of a sudden, you know, they're not moving, and all of a sudden they're moving, so they start going, but they don't ever stop doing what they were doing when they were stopped in the car. It's like, nothing.
Everything will be fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I had when I started driving for another company, and I was out with a guy, it was during the wintertime, and we were coming out of Philadelphia, and it was snowing, and this guy, he drove, like, he shouldn't be driving, and he was just flying, and it's about 2 inches of snow, but it was sticking on the ground. The roads were getting kind of slick, and he should know, like, he runs Philadelphia. He knows that traffic, you know, happens on the Schuylkill.
Right.
He's just going, and all of a sudden traffic, and he slams on the brakes and the truck starts sliding. And I'm like, we are going to kill people. And miraculously the truck stops. And when he's done, we're sideways, and he just goes, he takes a big deep breath, and he just goes, fuck. and he's like, that was close. And I'm like, my God, I'll never ride with this guy again.
You just gave me a flashback from the one accident that I had that wasn't my fault. I was going heading your guys' way, and I was going up 78. I take that up to where it splits off 22 just past Trexler Town there.
Yep.
And I guess there's tons of accidents there, which I found out afterwards talking to the cop. I guess once it rains a little, it gets really oily and slick. I was going up through, and as all those 5 lanes start to merge and split off the 2 different ways, I saw traffic slowing down. So I started dropping gears, hitting the brakes, and next thing I know, the traffic just stopped. So I got on it, and I actually started steering right, like, toward the shoulder, because I don't think I was going to hit the car in front of me, but I was like, just in case, I'm going over here. And next thing I know, there was just a thud from behind. It lifted me out of my seat. I smacked the cabinet behind my chair, and I looked in the mirror. There was a guy with a flatbed hauling building materials. I don't know if he wasn't paying attention or what happened, but he locked it up, jacked it, and his the corner of his flatbed caught the back of my trailer, like ripped my door off, put a 3-foot gouge down the side of the trailer. I ended up missing like 6 days of work from it from a concussion because it hit me that hard. Jeez, it was, and wow. I actually felt bad for him because he told me he had put in his notice. He was done with that job in 2 days. He just got hired for another driving job. And I said, well, I hope that works out for you.
Wow.
Because the cop ended up citing him with distracted driving, following too close, and something else.
Yeah.
You know, and then my trailer was destroyed. I never got the pickup that day. I had to get a company to come out, and I had to follow them so they could take the rest of what was left of the door off and put it in the trailer and drive. Yeah, it was bad. I didn't even know I had a concussion at that point. I drove all the way from there back to my area, and I was at work, and I got to a point, I looked at my boss, and I said, I don't feel right. I was like, I need to go see a doctor. Like, everything went into slow motion. I just felt weird, and I started getting sick in the stomach, and yeah, it was bad. I mean, that dude hit me good, and I don't know if he ever got that job or not, but well, that's on him. He should be paying attention.
Well, Ryan, I'll tell you, man, there's a lot of dangers out there. And you bringing up the Schuylkill, man, has me having all these thoughts in my head. But one day, Dad, remind me to tell the story of my experience on the Roosevelt that I can't share right now. So one day. Might be years and years from now, but one day, if certain things align...
Is this one classified yet?
It has not been declassified. So.
Well, maybe you should share it on the other show. Nobody will know.
I will not.
Make up a name and say, there's this guy one time.
No, I want to own the story. I just can't do it right now. I want to own it, but I can't do it right now. But Ryan, listen, man, it's been good talking to you, man. I appreciate you coming on the show.
I appreciate you having me. It definitely has been fun. I figured it'd be a fun chat. You are good guys and enjoy the show. Any other one, and I'll keep listening.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. Dad, if they enjoyed it, what can they do?
You know what? We say it every week, and we're going to say it again this week. Share the show. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. Share it on, I don't know, Instagram, wherever it is that you share, whatever is your favorite social media platform, share the show. If you don't know anybody who you can share the show with, you know what? Go to HammerlaneLegends.com. Check out the gear.
Mm-hmm.
Buy yourself a T-shirt.
Be a billboard.
Or be a billboard for I almost said Pitt, Ohio.
Well, that too. I mean, I'm sure Chuck Hamill will not mind us being a billboard for him. But be a billboard for Hammer Lane Legends. Hammer Lane Legends,
exactly. We have T-shirts, we have hoodies, we have mugs and stickers and all kinds of stuff there. You know, just be a billboard.
Absolutely. And just sharing the show. I mean, we say it all the time, like you said, but it's literally the best thing you can do as a listener. If you enjoy the show on a weekly basis, the best thing you can do for us, if you want to return the favor because we give you a show every week, the best thing you can do is just to hand the show off to somebody else, because we can't do that. It takes you, the listener, to do that. We can put it on the internet and all that stuff, but people don't just go out on their random searches on the internet and say, I wonder what I'll find if I say Hammer Lane Legends,
right,
you know?
Exactly.
It takes you, the listener, sharing it with other people for this show to really grow and for other people to contact us with their stories. So we greatly appreciate people sharing it, and it's very, very important on your end as a listener to share the show. So we greatly appreciate it. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane and call the hotline. Call the hotline.
Call the hotline.
We're out.
Just sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. And my mind is somewhere else, but when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light on. Tell you my stories. sense of what I can, of where I'm going.